food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, March 3rd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, we were right. We both said on Friday that we'd see a turnaround in gold today because you can't have a big drop in the USDX. As we saw on Friday, and have lower gold prices, and our gold just not jumping as what it should. And we were right, and gold. I mean, that was a pretty easy call, but we called it, one of the few. And we have gold up 23.10 today at 1352.70. You have silver down, up 20. I'm so used to saying down. Up 20 at 21.52. Platinum was up 11 at 1463, along with palladium up 6 at $752. And the USDX, though, is trading stronger today. They did get it back up over 80.09, up 31. Crude oil, naturally, that's up $2 today at 104.73. No big surprise there with all that is happening with Ukraine. And we'll be talking about Ukraine here in just a little bit. And they're blaming the market drop today on Ukraine. But really, gold, I mean, the markets went down. They stayed down. Not a lot of trading. The Dow was down 153 points at 16,167. The NASDAQ was down 30 at 42.77. And the S&P was down 13 at 18.45. So they were able to, you know, they'll say there was no calm in the markets, but really 155 points, big deal. You know, it's not even 1%, but it can set up, you know, some negative thoughts in the market, and we'll have to see if it carries through. The 10-year yield today, that was down 0.05, as expected, 2.61%. So, you know, I don't believe they used tumble. The stocks tumbled. They didn't tumble. It's down a lousy 153 points. I consider the stocks, if the Dow dropped 500 points, that's a tumble. But, but anyway, Al, it's an interesting day in the markets. Of course, all eyes are focused on Ukraine. Yep. As far as what's going on. Will they or won't they? Or are we heading into World War III? You can, you know, you can argue both sides, the importance of Ukraine to Russia, the importance of that pipeline going through Ukraine to the European nations for their gas. But something you don't hear a lot talked about, Al, is that Ukraine is the world's one of the world's top exporters of corn and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it's amazing how you could be one of the top exporters of those two products in today's world and have as much debt as you do. But
I'm not too surprised by that exactly. I mean, I don't know how much money farmers make in this country. I don't think they are. The big corporate farms may be doing fine in terms of profit. The family farm, I don't think they're properly compensated for what they grow. I think they're hustled and conned and exploited, and it's generally that way. You know, whenever you see a colony, it's generally just producing natural resources for sale to outside nations. And insofar as the Ukraine is focusing on selling grain and corn, wheat and corn to outside nations, it's a little bit on the colony side. If you want to make profits, you've got to find a way of creating industry. And in this country, for example, we're certainly not merely in a realm where we export natural resources, but we've diminished our industry. It hasn't worked well for us. So the Ukraine, I don't know, a little bit on the colonial side. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, I won't tell you that's God's truth, but that's the way I look at it. And we've got a bunch of reports on it. Here's one: Russian troops surround two military bases in Crimea. Kerry warns Russia could be expelled from the G8. Oh, big deal, you know, as if Putin cares. But they're, you know, it's a relatively lengthy article. There are a bunch of them around that are explaining what's happening. And here's another one from the Washington Examiner. And the headline says, "World scrambles as Russia tightens grip on Crimea." Well, the world is scrambling to do what? They're not going to do anything except talk about it. They're going to shake their finger and they're going to say, oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. And Putin isn't going to care. Huh? This is, you know, the world scrambles. Oh, big deal. You know, there's nothing that's going to come out of it. Here's another one from the Washington Examiner. And it says, House Intelligence Chairman. And it says, and this is the headline, House Intelligence Chairman says, Putin is playing chess and we're playing marbles.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, just kind of, but it's not true. House Intelligence, not from my perspective exactly. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers Sunday said the naivete of President Obama's national security advisors about Russian President Vladimir Putin's motivation is allowing Russia to outmaneuver the U.S. in the Ukraine and other hotspots around the globe. Putin is playing chess and we're playing marbles, Rogers, Republican from Michigan, said in Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. As you move down the list of in Syria and the Ukraine and other areas, he said, they've been running circles around us. After Russian troops moved into the Crimea region of the Ukraine on Friday, President Obama warned that there would be costs. And the administration said it would suspend participation in the planning sessions of the G8 summit of world leaders in June in Sochi, Russia. Now, I agree. Big deal. They're going to suspend. It's not clear whether it means the United States won't attend or they won't let Russia attend. But if they're going to be held, if the meeting's going to be held in Russia, you know, I don't see how you're going to keep Russia out. But in any case, I agree that Putin is playing chess. I'll give him that. He's a brilliant man and he's playing chess. But Obama's not playing marbles so much as playing without all his marbles. All right? And what I mean by that, it's because the United States government is broke. Between an exhausted treasury and an exhausted military, there's no way we're going to attempt to prevent a Russian takeover in the Crimean and of Crimea and perhaps eastern Ukraine before we're done. We're not going to prevent that takeover with our own military force. It's not going to happen. Obama can't do much because he's out of marbles. He doesn't have enough money. He doesn't have enough military force. Can't really put this together in a meaningful sense. So he will extol the virtues of diplomacy and say, oh my gosh, those nasty Russians, they're not paying attention to our rhetoric. Well, we didn't pay any attention to anybody's rhetoric when we invaded Iraq or Afghanistan. What makes anyone think that they're going to pay attention to our rhetoric now when Russia invades the Crimea? Here's another one from the Daily Ticker. It says, Russia-Ukraine crisis roils markets. Which global economic power is most at risk? This talks about the consequences of the Ukraine situation. And they're saying, you know, it's upsetting the markets. And they point out Russia's taking the hit on it. Its market, the MICEX, is down 11% early Monday. And the ruble hit a record low against the U.S. dollar, which is interesting to me because the dollar itself has been trading below the 80 mark on the U.S. dollar index. U.S. futures were down as the global sell-off continued. And the German DAX fell nearly 2.5%.
Yeah,
but it's important to see that only 1% of American trade is in foreign trade involves Russia. I mean, we're not really on the hook here in the sense that we are going to be deprived because of the problem with Russia and the Ukraine. We're not directly deprived. Germany is going to take a bit of a hit. They do a lot of trade with Russia. It'll affect them some. China is going to take a hit. Cautious investors are flocking to safe havens like bonds, gold, and the Japanese yen.
Yeah, I don't know why they would go there.
I understand. Maybe to get, I don't know, maybe get some sushi or something like that. Get some radioactive sushi in Japan. You can stop at Fukushima. They have, buy a house there. They're cheap. You can buy property. Here's another one. This is from Aretz Shiva, which is an Israeli newspaper or television. I'm not sure which one it is, but it's reported on the blog, and it's an Israeli publication. And the headline is Ukraine's Lesson for Israel, U.S. Guarantee Worthless. Okay? Now we're beginning to get where the consequences of the Ukraine, the invasion of Crimea and perhaps eastern Ukraine before we're done with this, we're beginning to see where this thing's really, how this is going to affect the United States. Ex-member of the Knesset, Arya Eldad, notes that the U.S. and Britain guaranteed Ukraine's security in exchange for nuclear disarming. That was the deal. See, Ukraine had nuclear missiles after the Soviet Union blew up. Huh? There are still nuclear weapons down there. So, the U.S. and Great Britain guaranteed Ukraine's security if they would get rid of their nuclear weapons. Now, I guarantee if the Ukraine still had nuclear weapons, the Russians would not be invading. That isn't going to happen. But we persuaded the Ukrainians, said, no, you can trust us. We will protect you. See? You give up your nuclear weapons and we'll protect you. Promise. Guaranteed. So the article continues here, from the Aretz Shiva, again, Israeli publication, says, lesson for Israel from Ukraine's current plight. According to ex-member of the Knesset, Arya Eldad, is that Western guarantees of Israel's security must never be trusted. They said, you know, it didn't work for Ukraine. We can't depend on it for Israel either. And the lesson is not just a result of the Ukraine's current plight. It's the result of the U.S. government's financial plight. Our government is broke and can't continue to keep the treaty promises that it made to the Ukraine. And it might not be able to afford the treaty promises made to Israel. And given our government's financial plight, the U.S. government may also be unable to keep its pension promises to Social Security beneficiaries, or its promises to repay the national debt, or even the implied promises to maintain the value of the fiat dollar. Because our government is broke, there will be a lot of promises in the future that will be unkept. Our government's abandonment of the people of Ukraine is simply one of many such abandonments. You know, I've been saying for years, what can't be paid won't be paid. We don't have enough money to pay all of our debts. Some of those debts are in the Ukraine. Some of those debts are in Israel. And their debts, their obligations, not just financial obligations, the way people normally think about it, but they are treaty obligations, treaty debts, where it's, oh, we'll protect you. Yeah, you can count on us. Well, guess what? Turns out you can't. And why? Because we're broke. That's the truth of the matter. As foreign nations other than Israel see that the promises made by the formerly mighty United States government can't be kept, those nations will move away from the United States and start seeking security and protection from other sources like Russia and China that are not insolvent. As nations desert the United States, so will our international power will diminish. Our currency's role as world reserve currency will diminish, and the value of the U.S. fiat dollar can be expected to also diminish. And the result will be rising gold prices. It may seem strange, but the real U.S. casualty of the Russian invasion of the Crimea will be the fiat dollar. It's going to, because the dollar has been supported by two things since 1971, and one is that it was the petrodollar. It was the only dollar, it was the only currency that could be used to purchase crude oil on the international market. That's no longer true. And it was also supported by our massive military and our ability to subject anyone who dared to sell their crude oil for anything other than dollars to a dose of shock and awe, which is what George W. Bush gave Iraq when Saddam Hussein said, ha-ha, I'm going to sell Iraqi crude for euros rather than dollars. He said that in 2000, and we invaded in 2003 under the pretext of weapons of mass destruction. There weren't any. We went in there because Saddam had the audacity to threaten the supremacy of the U.S. dollar. That is the reason we invaded Iraq, in my opinion. I can't prove that for an absolute fact, but it's the only way that makes sense to me. We knew there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. That was just a pretext to go in there. All right, we went in, we invaded, we gave them a shock of awe, we gave them shock and awe, and the war was over in a couple of weeks, and everybody, ha-ha, we showed them how strong we are, except the war wasn't over. We wound up ensnared there for 8.5 years. And during that period of time, we exhausted a significant portion of our military capability, our ability to exert force on the ground. And that was the force that was keeping a lot of these oil-producing nations in line, where they said, oh, no, I'm not selling my crude oil for anything other than dollars because, you know, those Yankees will come in here and just they'll give us a dose of shock and awe. We can't take it. So we'll keep selling for dollars. Well, we are no longer the exclusive. We no longer have an exclusive on using dollars to buy crude oil. And our military has been diminished. Its ability to extend itself has been, we've had to pull in our horns. Those are the two things that were holding the dollar up since 1971. What's going to hold it up now? It's not backed by gold, not backed by silver, not backed by petroleum, not backed by the military. What's going to hold the dollar up? I look at this and I see this as simple. I see this as evidence that, you know, we're in a situation now that's going to be difficult to escape. It's hard to say how fast this will unfold and how fast we're going to see significant and even dramatic changes in the value of the dollar. It's hard to say where this could go. It's not impossible that they may roll out some new and improved dollar before this is all over. I don't know what's going to happen. But the fundamental underpinning for the perceived value of the fiat dollar has unraveled in the last decade, and it's unraveling even more right now insofar as we can't put the military out on any fool's errand. We used to be able to go after any fool's errand in the world. Now we can't. We have to be smart. Won't do well for the dollar. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements and be right back. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What you got for them, Melody?
I mentioned on Friday that we were going to run some really good specials, and we do. We have some Swiss francs. We have some British sovereigns. They're very difficult to get because of what is happening in Ukraine. And also, you have a lot of Europeans that are buying up the British sovereigns over there, but we do have the Swiss francs that are available. I had a client call me today, and he says, you know, somebody called me, and they were selling Swiss francs. They were actually, was it $4 or $5 more than my regular price, but they were offering a silver coin valued at $70. I says, well, what was that $70 silver coin? I don't know. I says, well, didn't they tell you? No. It's like, folks, if people are calling you and they can't tell you what the special is, I mean, they could be sending you out a dime that they're saying is valued at $70. And so, you know, be careful. It sounded like a great deal. But once you pull it apart, if they can't tell you, then they're hiding something. So we were able to sell the gentleman at a lower price at Swiss francs. So give us a call whenever you get these calls from other dealers. And I asked him, I says, well, if it's such a special deal, why is he calling you? And so beware of those folks. But we're running the, again, my favorite $5 Liberty gold piece, fractional piece, $395. You're looking at about a little over $15 savings on that coin. And that's significant when you're looking at a small fractional piece. And I love my clients. I love the listeners, Al. I got calls first thing this morning saying, well, what's your special? You said on your Friday program what the special was going to be on Monday. So I actually sold quite a few specials even before this program. So we're going to continue it through. $395. It does include your shipping costs. for AU $5 Liberty gold pieces. And again, folks, there's not a lot of these around because they're small, and they were actually used in those days. They used a lot of the $5 Liberties and the $10 Liberties. So in nice condition, in an AU almost uncirculated condition, there's not a lot of them out there. So they do disappear very quickly. So just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And pick up some $5 Liberty gold pieces.
All right.
And we're going to be bringing specials. We want to have a tremendous March. February flew by. It's hard to believe that we're March 3rd. It's like what happened to a – it's like a week was lost. And so we're going to have a tremendous March, tremendous specials, and we're starting out with a $5 Liberty.
Well, sounds good, Melody. Let me go a few more rounds with the Ukraine situation. Here's a report from Turner Radio. Conspiracy theory, right? But there's some truth behind it. It's not necessarily true, but there's people that think it's true in Russia. Earthquake caused by HAARP. Okay, that's the idea. They're reporting that a significant earthquake struck the Crimean Peninsula and the Ukraine within the last hour. And Russian, that was around noon, apparently. Close to noon. And it struck the Crimean Peninsula in the Ukraine within the last hour, somewhere around noon today, East Coast time. And Russian military sources are claiming that it was a deliberate attack by the United States using its HAARP array in Alaska in retaliation for Russia placing troops into the Ukraine. Now, I'm going to imagine that most of the people listening to this program understand what I'm talking about when I refer to the HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, HAARP technology, that's located up in Alaska. It's an array of radio antennas that can allegedly heat up the stratosphere, upper portions of the atmosphere, in ways that can supposedly change weather. And some people think that it's capable of bouncing off the ionosphere. They can fire this radio wave up into there, hit the ionosphere and bounce back down and hit particular targets in the world and cause earthquakes. Huh? That's what some people believe. Now, I don't know what the truth of the matter is. I don't know what HAARP does, but it is fascinating to me that while a lot of people in this country regard HAARP as a conspiracy theory. Some people believe it's, the theory, the fears, the concerns, the allegations of this incredible technology, they say they're real. Other people say it's a crock. I don't know what the truth of it is, but here we have Russia. Okay? One Russian spokesman, he said bluntly, the earthquake in Crimea was caused by the use of a weapon of mass destruction by the United States against the Russian army. Now, people, apparently, whether you and I believe that HAARP is capable of causing significant damage, and whether it's capable of causing earthquakes, some people say yes, some people say it's nonsense. I don't know what the truth of it is, but there are people in Russia who say, yeah, it's true. Now, this is bizarre and it's strange because here we have an earthquake took place in the Crimea today. And some people are blaming that earthquake on the United States. Now, I guarantee you there are going to be people in Russia who are going to be infuriated with the United States for having beamed an earthquake into the Crimea. And there's other people that are sitting back and say, wait a second. This earthquake just happened. This isn't a consequence of American technology. And it would be extraordinarily ironic and tragic if the United States and Russia wound up in a war because an earthquake inadvertently took place in the Crimea about the same time that the Russians are invading. Maybe it's just coincidence. And what this, you know, and if it catches on, I don't know what happens with HAARP up in Alaska. I don't pretend to know. I've heard the stories, and I don't know what's going on there. But it's not just people in this country that believe those stories. It's people in other countries. And insofar as Russia says, yes, the United States has caused HAARP to cause an earthquake, how long before the people in Japan start wondering what happened to cause the tsunami, the earthquake, undersea earthquake that caused the tsunami at Fukushima, or the people in the in India? 2004, there was a tsunami off the coast of India that killed 150,000 people. How long before they start blaming the United States? Some of them undoubtedly already have, and more may. And there's something in this about secret technologies. I don't know what goes on at HAARP, but somebody ought to tell us what the truth of the matter is. Because when you operate in secrecy, you leave the door open for people to accuse you of things that you haven't done. So we have a world that believes that HAARP is capable of these, capable of causing earthquakes. I don't mean the whole world, but, you know, officials. People in positions of power. Here's another headline from Dave Hodges. And he asked, in his headline, Putin has occupied Crimea. Is Ukraine in World War III next? And he writes a little bit. He says, Obama's famous for drawing imaginary red lines in the sand and then not acting. He warned Russia about their involvement in the Syrian conflict, in which hundreds of thousands have died. He warned Russia against assisting Iran with its nuclear program. Putin has ignored Obama at every turn and holds him in absolute contempt. The unfolding war in the Ukraine is just another case in point. Obama does not have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to Putin. And again, we talked a little about this where someone said Putin's playing chess and we're playing marbles, and I'm joking. We're playing, but we don't have all our marbles. By that, I mean we don't have all of our capacities. Obama's problem, and I'm no fan of Obama. He's not, I regret. It's hard for me to imagine that anybody could be worse than George W. Bush, but I believe Obama has succeeded. He has fallen to that level. He's certainly a contender for the award. Worst president in the last 50 years. Obama's problem isn't necessarily one of intestinal fortitude. The problem is that the United States is broke. And no one will lend the U.S. government enough money to keep playing global policemen. Result, our national government can't afford to play in the Crimea. And also, and so it'll have to settle for wringing its hands and offering stirring rhetoric and little else. As for the Ukraine causing World War III, I can't see how. I mean, I understand that the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand back in early 1900s ultimately precipitated. Was it World War I or World War II, Melody? Do you recall? You don't remember.
Either one.
Yeah, one or the other. Who forgets? Before my time. All right, but somebody shot an archduke, and next thing you know, you have a world war. All right? Small things can have extraordinary consequences and unexpected consequences. But small things don't always have extraordinary consequences, and mostly they don't have any consequence, any significant consequence at all. And insofar as we can't afford to fight in the Crimea, can't afford to put soldiers on the ground and send fighter planes over there and the rest, that sort of thing, bombers and all that, insofar as we can't afford to do that, how can we be expected to escalate up to World War III?
Yeah, but
you don't just start World War III. First, you take a couple pokes and jabs at somebody, and then things move up and up, and somebody pulls a knife, and somebody pulls a gun, and things go bad. We aren't even going to be put boots. We can't put boots on the ground over there. This isn't going to escalate. I'm unable to see any logic of that. A week from now, it'll be known to all the world that Russia has regained control over the Crimea, and the map makers may have to redraw their maps and have to change some map lines. 2 weeks from now, we may not even remember what's going on in Crimea. I think this thing is going to be a dead issue in a relatively short period of time, at least in terms of Crimea. There's still the eastern Ukraine. And if Russia doesn't invade the eastern Ukraine now, my guess is they will consolidate in the Crimea, and they may invade 6 months from now or a year from now. I don't know when they're going to do it. But they might not go right now, or maybe they will. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but I don't doubt they're going to probably want to take the eastern half of the Ukraine. Again, as we talked last Friday, pointed out that the Ukraine, the Crimea, used to be part of Russia. It was moved over in 1954, if I recall correctly, to the Ukraine as an act of the Soviet Union. They were dividing up the different countries that comprised the Soviet Union and said, well, why don't we Russians give the Crimea to the Ukraine? Part of a deal, some political deal. Well, the Crimea was populated by Russian people, and eastern Ukraine is populated by Russian people. They want to be part of Russia. And I don't doubt they're going to be. That's going to happen. So, I don't know. This isn't over, but I don't expect to see something equivalent to the Archduke Ferdinand being shot in Sarajevo.
Well, you know, Al, you talk about the U.S. doesn't have money. However, I mean, even when we went into Iraq, that was all off budget. And the whole point of a fiat currency is they can just print whatever they need. And granted, sure, it has consequences after it's done. But to say because we're broke, they will do whatever is necessary whenever it's necessary. And I don't think not having the money or being broke, it might keep them to some degree. I mean, our you're right, our military, I mean, our equipment and so forth. But what we have, I mean, there's, you can have the shock and awe without boots on the ground. So
yeah, you can. We're still capable of bombing them. Yeah, we're capable of bombing and that sort of thing. I get that. Drones and bombers, I get that. But we're right in Russia's next door. I mean, this is right next to Russia. That's not just, we're just not going there. And are we flat broke? No. But we can't extend power the way we thought we could back when Bush and company decided to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. Right then, everyone admitted we were the strongest power on earth. Right now, that position is no longer so clearly held. We may still be the strongest power. I don't doubt that. But we don't have the same level of power that was believed to exist 10, 12 years ago. That power, that illusion is now done. We are now another player. We're the biggest player, but we're not the only player. So I don't think we can afford to make those moves. And one other thing, when you talk about essentially just printing more money, you're talking about the Federal Reserve has to go along with this if we want to go play a game in Ukraine. And insofar as they have advocated tapering for the last several months, that tapering cuts the amount of money that the Federal Reserve has been effectively giving to the United States.
Maybe they
taper. I think the Federal Reserve wants out.
Maybe they are tapering so they can reposition those funds to go somewhere else. We all know when it comes to getting out of a depression and when you have a country that's in dire straits, what's the first thing they want to do? They go to war.
Well,
we just have to pick the war.
It's how you conceal the crime.
So, I mean, I have no doubt war is coming.
You declare a war someplace and everybody forgets about your crimes so they can go watch the war, participate in the war, run from the war.
I mean, I have no doubt we're going to war. I'm just not sure, what will be the, which war and what will,
I'm going to predict we aren't going to war anytime soon.
But we're going
wrong. It won't make any difference because there won't be anyone here to remember that I made a mistake. And if I'm right, I'm going to be able to lord it over everybody and say, ha, 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 I am so smart. We're going to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis, predicting no war. Here with Melody Cedarstrom on the Financial Survival. I'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We have a caller, Yvonne. You there, Yvonne?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. One is the killing of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo was the start of the First World War.
Yes, I thought.
But, you know, and as far as Ukraine, you know, I think there are a lot of forces which are playing out in the scenario. You have the West, the East, which is U.S., NATO is West, and of course Russia East. And then you have the Ukrainians themselves who suffered enormously under Stalin and Soviet Union, in Soviet Union, where over 10 million died of starvation. And secondly, that's why Russians came into Crimea and that area, because there were no Ukrainians to be there, you know. So they came from Russia to take over certain areas because it was essentially part of Russia, but in essence, that the 10 million who died were, you know, left a lot of empty space and so on. So the Russians came in and sat down and took over some of the areas, which would be Crimea and the eastern part of Ukraine. So you have the internal force, which is the Ukraine nationalists, and then you have the other two outside forces, the East and West, which are creating this problem, or, you know, creating the uprisings and so on. And I'm sure that all three are not, it's not a joint effort. It's just an emphasis of today's state of world, where there could be a small spark which started this whole thing, and then it may expand into it could be a major global conflict if people just don't watch and overplay their hands, either Russia. country have or the West. That's why I say that, you know, there is a possibility of a global conflict, but I agree that it would be just a spark.
It's a relatively low probability. Nothing's impossible, right, but some things are unlikely. This strikes me as unlikely at this time. Let me ask you this. Insofar as Great Britain and the United States guaranteed the Ukraine's security if the Ukraine agreed to give up its nuclear missiles, do you think the United States and Great Britain entered into that agreement in good faith? Was it their intent to actually provide that protection, or was it just a device to disarm the Ukraine and make them vulnerable to a Russian invasion?
Well, when they did it, wasn't Ukraine part of Russia?
It would be in the aftermath. I don't know the year it was actually done, but I presume it was in the aftermath of the, well, after the Soviet Union fragmented. And then there were nuclear missiles parked in the Ukraine, and the Ukraine said, well, they must be ours. And they kept them.
Oh, that's true. I agree that, you know, had the Ukrainians have the weapons or nuclear weapons, Russia would have twice thought about going in. Now, of course, I mean, we have nuclear weapons, they do. There were a few conflicts, such as Cuba and so on, but it would be a deterrent, definitely, to not to allow Russians, you know, just march in without a shot fired, you know. So I agree that that would have been a deterrent and would have Putin think twice before coming in. But,
well, here, let me give you a background on this. I just looked this up on Wikipedia while you were talking. And it said the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. The newly independent Ukraine had on its territory what was the third largest strategic nuclear weapons arsenal in the world. It was larger than those of Britain, France, China combined. On June 1st, 1996, Ukraine became a non-nuclear nation when it sent the last of its 1,900 strategic nuclear warheads to Russia for dismantling. So there's a little history for us. The deal was cut apparently in 1996. I'm going to guess that it was done in good faith at the time. I don't see grounds. If it was a conspiracy of sorts to betray Ukraine, it would have happened long before now. Wouldn't have happened. Well, you know, they wouldn't have waited 18 years for the betrayal.
But, you know, I mean, if U.S. did guarantee the independence of Ukraine, you know, once they gave up their nuclear weapons, wouldn't it hold the truth that they would have to actually either, you know, come up to the bar and do it or just like you say, I mean...
Well, that was the theory, but then we had enough muscle to defend then.
Yeah.
And it may be that our muscle is atrophied to where we can't defend as well today.
Absolutely. I don't think that we have the muscle or the economy to support any type of war anymore. I think we are at the precipice to economically.
Well, we can defend. If someone wants to attack us, we can nuke them. All right, the missiles are put in a silo here, there, submarines and so on. We are still in a supremely dangerous adversary. But we can't put boots on the ground anymore, in my opinion. We won't be able to do that in a meaningful sense. I don't think we'll do it for another generation. And we may never do it again. Just the way the world is right now, do you think we can still have invasions, Ivan? Of the sort that we saw where billions of men marched back and forth in World War II, is that sort of war in our future, or is it all just going to be technology, just lock and load, you know, launch, and 30 minutes later, the country ceases to exist?
Well, I would say that will be the ultimate point, that we are not going to be able to put, you know, million troops anywhere in the world, or as we did in World War II, or even in Vietnam, you know, wasn't as big, but you know, we had quite a few 100,000 troops there.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Yvonne, we're going to have to allow you to go your way, and we'll go ours, and we will move on with this. All right.
Yep.
Maybe Yvonne's already.
Yep.
We lost him. All right. Thanks for a call, Yvonne. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, later this week, next week, but we'll talk to you again. So, what else, Melody?
Oh, I guess we will find out, you know, how it all comes out. But I think the reason, you know, I've seen a lot of headlines about gold. Gold is up because of what's going on in Ukraine. But gold was moving up prior to the situation in Ukraine. Yeah. And people have to remember that. But they will use Ukraine as a way to try and push gold back down. And but the problem is, you know, I think there's a lot of other things going on in this country, and I think Ukraine just has sort of covered everything up for temporarily anyway.
It distracts attention for a while. It's, you know, it's like the magician with the sleight of hand. He gets you looking over here. He gets you watching his left hand so he can pick your pocket with his right hand. You know. It's just part of the diversions that we have in as part of the show that's put on by our professional magicians in Washington, D.C. They make people believe in money that's not money, and debts that aren't debts, and assets that aren't assets, and the whole thing is something of a magic show. And we'll wonder how long they can continue to fool us. You know, you go to watch David Copperfield. You can watch him for an hour and not get the trick. But if you got to watch him every day for 6 months, you're going to figure it out. You understand? You're going to see what's happening. Oh, where do we want to go next, Melody? You have a call about Obamacare. You want to talk a little about Obamacare?
Yeah, certainly.
It's fun, you know. So here, and on the light side, folks, after we get done talking about the possibility of World War III, now for something really amusing. Obamacare medical device tax led to the loss of 33,000 jobs. That's from the Washington Times. They're complaining that Obamacare is going to cost a bunch of jobs, and Obama says, no, it's not that bad, and so on. This article goes back a week or two, and it has a few implications, and one of them is no matter how bad Obamacare may be for the U.S. economy, President Obama's signature legislation, and it won't be repealed. Implication two, no matter how government shifts the $30 billion tax burden that currently rests on medical device manufacturers, they're going to impose taxes on medical device manufacturers, or there are taxes, and the medical device manufacturers say, no, don't tax us, tax those people over there, we're the good guys, see. And government is considering this. But no matter how government shifts the $30 million tax burden that currently rests on medical device manufacturers, the net result will still be loss of 33,000 jobs. And the third implication is, given that Obamacare can't be repealed, that's point one. And two, the $30 billion in taxes currently imposed on the medical device manufacturers won't be easily shifted to some other industry. Then it follows that the tax on medical device manufacturers will remain in place and 33,000 jobs will be lost to Obamacare. There may be some talk about changing that tax. But there'll be no change in the tax imposed on the medical device manufacturers. The road to economic hell is paved with good intentions. Here's another one on Obamacare from Fox News. Obamacare may mean higher premiums for 11 million small business workers. A new report from the Obama administration. This isn't some independent, non-governmental source. The Obama administration issued a report last Friday. And the report estimates that two-thirds of small businesses and 11 million workers will see premiums rise under Obamacare. The report was released late Friday, with no public announcement. Again, this is coming from the government. This is the Obama administration. And he says two-thirds small businesses are going to see their premiums go up, and 11 million workers are going to see their premiums go up thanks to Obamacare. And, of course, there was no announcement of this report last Friday. Apparently, they thought maybe they could sneak it in and not get tarred and feathered for it. But they are going to be tarred and feathered. And here's the last one I have on Obamacare. I think this is the last one. This is just an odd little story. And now this is from CNN Money. And it says, now on your restaurant bill, Obamacare fee. And they've got a picture of the receipt from a restaurant called Gator's Dockside in Florida. And Gator's Dockside, when they give you the subtotal for the food, and then they list the sales tax, and then they have the ACA surcharge. And the ACA means Affordable Care Act, Obamacare surcharge. They're charging an extra 1% on the bill. Now, this isn't imposed by government, right? This is the decision of the private owners of these restaurants, small chain in Florida. And it says several restaurants in Florida have begun asking customers to help foot the bill for Obamacare. The Gator Group, that's the name of this restaurant, full-time hourly employees won't actually receive health insurance until December of this year. But the company said it had implemented the surcharges now because compliance costs is facing with the Affordable Health Care's employer mandate kicking in 2015. And they are concerned. They say the costs associated with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, the costs associated with Obamacare compliance could ultimately close our doors. So they're trying to hook their customers for an extra 1% surcharge already. You think that's an intelligent choice, Melody, or bad business?
Probably both.
No, I think it's a bad business.
No, it is. But, I mean,
because you can't just slap an extra. They don't have a law to allow them to do this. It's not being mandated by the government. It's a bad choice, but it's also an evidence of at least one outfit is either surprisingly foolish or they are surprisingly desperate. They're faced with Obamacare. They say, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? All it means is costs for everybody are going up, 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 and up. Thanks to Obamacare.
These companies have all kinds of taxes that they put on for this and for that. They just add another one and people will just merrily pay it. And
well, who do they think they are? The telephone company, Melody? Huh?
No, I'll
they
tell
can't
you.
Get away with that. Telephone company can, but not restaurants. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye.